We're going to call the meeting to order. This is the Public Safety Policy Omnibus Bill, House File 1301. Members, Senator Moore is presenting a bill, but we're just going to be doing the walkthrough today. So if we could just have staff walk us through the side-by-side. Ms. Curious?
Madam Chair and members, I'm going to primarily use the side-by-side summary. I'm going to start. Article 1 is predatory offenders. Sections 1 through 8 are house-only provisions. Section 1 is requiring DPS to issue a green, lime green license plate to any registered predatory offender. Sections 2 and 3 are prohibiting registered predatory offenders who are on intensive supervised release from accessing or using instant messaging chat rooms or social networking websites that permit minors to participate. Section 4 is requiring notice of a predatory offender to be provided to residents of facilities designated as housing with service establishments by the Commissioner of Health. Section 5 is clarifying that the registration period for a predatory offender will restart if that person is arrested for a new offense or is determined to have violated probation, parole, or release when the arrest or violation occurs prior to the end of the person's registration, even if the conviction or incarceration incurred after the registration period ended. Section 6 is authorizing DOC to impose as a condition of intensive supervised release unannounced searches of computers or other electronic devices capable of accessing the internet. Section 7 is amending the definition of residential facility under Section 244.052, and the effect is that cities do not need to hold community notification meetings for predatory offenders who are detainees in regional treatment centers. Section 8 is requiring the DOC to prepare predatory offender training materials for persons who care for children and vulnerable adults. Moving to the Senate side, Section 43 is amending the definition of sexual contact for second and fourth degree criminal sexual conduct crimes, so it would include intentional touching by the actor of the complainant's body or clothing with the actor's seminal fluid or sperm. And the applicable House provision is in Finance in House File 1592. Section 9 is expanding the crime of computer solicitation of children to include cases where the offender uses an electronic communication system, telecommunications wire or radio communication system, or other electronic device capable of electronic data storage or transmission. The Senate file is similar. It contains the House language on electronic devices, but it does not contain the language relating to electronic communication systems, telecommunications wire, or radio communication system. Next is Article 2. In your revised summary, it's on R11. Section 1 is a House-only provision. It is amending the definition of a family or household member under the Domestic Abuse Act to clarify that it includes persons who have been involved in a significant romantic or sexual relationship in the past. On the Senate side, Sections 40 and 41 are Senate-only provisions. It is authorizing the court to include in an order for protection an order directing the care, possession, or control of a pet or companion animal, or ordering the respondent to have no contact with the pet or companion animal. Section 2 on the House side is a House-only provision. It's providing domestic abuse contact orders with statewide application in line with orders for protection. Section 3 is a House-only provision. It's adding victims of criminal sexual conduct to a provision that's currently in law where a prosecutor must provide victims of domestic assault and harassment with information on civil protection orders. On the Senate side, Sections 2 and 47 relate to accessibility of crime alerts by disabled persons, and this bill was signed into law, Chapter 22. Section 4 on the House side is extending the time frame from 12 to 24 hours in which an officer may arrest a person who the officer has probable cause to believe committed domestic abuse. The Senate Section 56 is identical. Sections 5 through 8 on the House side are amending session law authorizing the 4th Judicial District to establish a domestic fatality review team pilot project, and is expanding the authorization to any judicial district and eliminating references to its status as a pilot project. On the Senate side, instead of amending session law, it is codifying these provisions in Chapter 611A and is also defining domestic violence deaths, outlining the membership of the Domestic Fatality Review Team, specifying the team's duties and confidentiality requirements, and outlining data access and privacy provisions. Moving on to Article 3, Courts and Public Defenders. This is starts on page R20 in your revisor side-by-side. Section 1 is a House-only provision. It is setting forth state policy to identify and eliminate racial, ethnic, and gender fairness barriers in the justice system. Section 2 is eliminating the requirement that the Hennepin County District Court establish and maintain misdemeanor violation bureaus in specific locations, and instead the locations would be determined by a majority of the judges. The Senate provision is identical. Section 3 is expanding the authority to appoint a referee to act in conciliation court. The Senate provision is identical. Sections 4 through 8 are House-only provisions relating to public defenders. Section 4 is requiring a defendant to consent to certification of a misdemeanor violation as a petty misdemeanor. This would make statute consistent with case law. And it's providing that if an offense is certified as a petty misdemeanor, a defendant would not be eligible for a public defender. Section 5 is establishing criteria to determine eligibility for public defender representation, and it's based on the offense level charge and the defendant's income. Section 6 is clarifying appointments of appellate and district public defenders. Section 7 is directing public defender reimbursement payments collected in the 4th Judicial District to be returned to Hennepin County to offset the county's contribution to the public defender system. Section 8 is limiting application requests by defense counsel to seek payments by the county to pay for investigative or expert services, and it would limit the application requests to public defenders and attorneys working for public defense corporations. Section 9 is a House-only provision. It is eliminating the requirement some courts have imposed that there must be a pre-trial filing of a written transcript of squad car recordings in criminal and DWI hearings. Section 10 is establishing a license reinstatement diversion pilot program. The Senate provision is identical, except it is requiring that the report to the legislature be made electronically and available in print only upon request. I'm flipping to page 8 of the summary. Section 11 is repealing a reference in statute to the Bloomington Municipal Court, which no longer exists, and the Senate has an identical provision in Section 61.
Mr. Backus. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Then I'll beginning with Articles 4 and 5 of the House, bottom of page R29 of the revised side-by-side and page 8 of the summary. House Article 4 is entitled Corrections and Sentencing Guidelines. Section 1 on R30 is a House-only provision that permits courts to condition pretrial or probationary release of an offender based on a stipulation that the offender consent to warrantless searches. Page R30 to 31, House Section 2, Senate Section 20, deals with forwarding surcharges on criminal and traffic offenders. These provisions are identical. Page R32, there's three Senate-only provisions, Sections 13, 14, and 15. These provisions are related to the provisions on the next page, but what the Senate does here is amends the law addressing the detention and release of probationers, conditional releasees, and pretrial releasees in county probation officer, probation system counties. These laws provide that the court services director's authority to issue detention and release orders extends to any peace or probation officer in the state. And there's a related repealer also in Section 61 of the Senate provision. Going then to page R32, House Section 3 and Senate Section 32, these provisions clarify the authority to enforce apprehension and detention orders against persons on conditional or pretrial release in CCA Act counties, and basically makes the same changes to the CCA law as the Senate makes in Sections 13 to 15 to the CPO laws. And these provisions are identical except for a slight difference in the effective date. Bottom of page R32 going to R33 is the House only provision, Section 4, and it's related to a change in Article 5 that the House makes. What the House does here, it mandates that correctional officers, when local correctional facilities are merging, that the officers are entitled to their accumulated vacation and sick time, and there's no comparable Senate position on that. Page R33 to R34, similar House and Senate positions. Both the House and Senate amend the warrantless arrest authority for peace officers as it pertains to violations of the escape from custody law relating to juvenile offenders. The Senate provision is broader in that it applies to any juvenile who escapes on an allegation or adjudication of a delinquent act. So it would include children escaping from Totem Town or the Hennepin County Homeschool, where the House provision only applies to juveniles escaping from the custody of the Commissioner of Corrections. And then there's also some technical differences as well there. Page R34, there's two provisions, House Section 6, Senate Section 21, regarding reports. What the House does is it requires that the Sentencing Guidelines Commission review its reports for possible consolidation to achieve an administrative convenience or fiscal savings. The Senate provision is similar. It's broader in that it applies to the Commissioners of Corrections and Public Safety as well. And then there are some language differences more on the technical side. Page R34 to R35 is a House-only provision, Section 7. It mandates a study and reports to the legislature on evidence-based probation practices, and that's a House-only provision. Bottom of page R35, going to R36, there's a Senate-only provision, Section 59, requires the Commissioner of Corrections to develop and report to the legislature a pilot project for detention and supervision of short-term offenders. It establishes that the proposal must address the care, custody, and programming for these offenders, and then it specifies the factors the Commissioner must consider when developing it. The House does not have a provision similar to this, presumably because in the House omnibus funding bill, the House is proposing to take responsibility for short-term offenders to transfer it back to the state. Section 60 on page R36 is a Senate-only provision. However, the House in its funding bill has passed a substantially similar piece. What the provision does is it requires local entities or authorizes local entities to submit a proposal for a pilot project for a secure residential center for the supervision of persons facing supervised release or probation revocation, and then it specifies what the proposal must address and requires the locals to consider specified factors in developing the proposal. The Senate requires an electronic report to the legislature. The House, in its provision, has a normal, a printed report, and then there are stylistic differences as well, but they're substantively the same. Page R37, there are two repealers. The House repeals two reports relating to the placement of juvenile offenders in out-of-state facilities. If you look at the Senate language, the Senate repeals those same two sections. The Senate repeal is broader. It's contained in its omnibus funding bill, and it repeals two provisions relating to the early conditional release of nonviolent drug offenders, and it also repeals a duplicative scrap metal penalty provision in law. Continuing then with Article 5, which is entitled Public Safety, the House has two House-only provisions, Sections 1 and 2, that relate to specialized emergency response teams. Section 1 defines what those teams are, and Section 2 authorizes the Director of the Homeland Security to develop, to deploy these teams for emergencies or disasters, and then address workers' comp and tort indemnification issues relating to it. Page R39 going to R40, both the House and Senate amend the section of law relating to methamphetamine precursor drugs. Under current law, retail establishments that sell these drugs up to pseudoephedrine have to maintain sales logs, but the law is silent as to what happens to those logs. But both the House and Senate agree that these logs should be retained by the establishment. However, the House and Senate disagree as to how long. The House provision requires a 5-year retention, while the Senate requires a 3-year retention. Both the House and Senate agree, though, that the provisions must be available at all reasonable times to inspection by law enforcement agencies. The House adds a concept here that the Senate does not, though, relating to the how the amount of over-the-counter pseudoephedrine that a person may purchase is calculated, because there currently are limits to that. The House provides that it's going to be calculated as to the base, as opposed to including other agreements. And my understanding is this is a clarification that's consistent with the Board of Pharmacy interpretation currently. Continuing then, bottom of page 40 to 41 is the House-only provision. This provision requires the Board of Pharmacy to submit an annual report to the legislature that identifies the changes the Board has made in the past year to the controlled substance schedules that are maintained in rules by the Board. The Senate has a similar provision. It's in the Senate Rules Committee. It passed the Senate Health Committee, but it's in rules. It's Senator Dahl's Senate File 1921. House Section 5 on page R41 is a House-only provision. It addresses salvia divinorum and provides that a person who unlawfully sells it is guilty of a gross misdemeanor, and a person who unlawfully possesses it is guilty of a misdemeanor. Continuing then, R41 to R42, House Section 6 is a House-only provision. It authorizes GPS systems to be mounted on the bottommost portion of vehicle windshields. Currently, that's not allowed. I say it's a House-only provision, but the Senate the House passed a standalone bill on this, House File 85, which is now sitting on the Senate floor, Senator Tomasoni bill. Continuing then, Madam Chair, page R42, House Section 7 is a House-only provision, and it deals with driver's records relating to DWI. And it would provide that after 10 years without an offense, those records would be classified as private data as opposed to public. If the person were to get another DWI, then the records would become public again. And again, that's a House-only provision. Senate Section 12, bottom of 42 to continuing to 44, authorizes the court to order an aggravated sentence beyond the range specified in the current guidelines grid based on an aggravating factor arising from the same course of conduct. Most of the Senate language is actually defining aggravating factor, and that definition comes from the Sentencing Guidelines Commission, and then there are two that are recognized in case law. The House has no provision on this except that Representative Hillstrom has a standalone bill, House File 1235, which I believe is on the House floor, that is similar but does not define aggravating factors. Continuing on page R45 to R49, both the House and Senate reorganized the Financial Crimes Advisory Board and Task Force. These provisions are identical except for the effective dates. On the bottom of page R49, there's a Senate-only provision that relates to this past provisions, and it basically deals with the transition of the task force and implies that new appointing authorities for the new task force must complete their appointments by August 1st, and it has members of the task force serving until their successors have been appointed. Page R50, House Sections 9 and 10 are related. They're House-only provisions. Section 9 permits the withholding of the salary of a district court administrator who fails to forward criminal records to the BCA, and actually requires that the records be forwarded as well, and then it permits a civil lawsuit to be filed. Section 10 establishes a misdemeanor penalty for government officials who knowingly fail to provide required criminal data to the BCA, and also permits a civil lawsuit. Section 11 amends the data system, the comprehensive incident-based reporting system that law enforcement agencies are able to access, and it gives four new purposes to allow access. And those are to serve process in a criminal case, to inform law enforcement on possible safety issues prior to the issuance of service, enforcing no contact orders and locating missing persons, and that's a house only provision. Section 12 on R51 is a house only provision prohibiting commercial retailers from selling toys that have been recalled for safety reasons. There is a section, Senate File 474 on the Senate floor, and there's also a separate House companion, House File 156 on the House floor on this issue. Section 13, bottom of 51 to R52, is the House only provision. It creates a gross misdemeanor penalty for a person who possesses a device or a substance with the intent to use it to enhance an animal's ability to fight. Page R52 to R54, there's four standalone Senate-only provisions, sections 3, 7, 8, and 36. What these provisions do is they authorize the Commissioner of Administration, the Board of Trustees of Minsky, the Board of Regents of the University of Minnesota, and statutory and home rule charter cities. It authorizes them to adopt rules, ordinances, or policies to require that persons or entities with whom they contract for construction or services, that those entities would employ a minimum number or percentage of low-income former criminal offenders. House File 644, Representative Champion's bill, passed the State and Local Government Committee and is now in Finance Committee. It matches up with Section 36 of the Senate provision, but doesn't have the other concepts. Section 10 is a Senate-only provision on R54, and it limits the admissibility of information relating to a criminal history record of an employee or former employee in a civil action against the employer. And it would prohibit introduction of criminal history in three circumstances. The first is if the duties of the position did not expose members of the public to a greater degree of risk than that created by the employee interacting with the public outside the duties of the position, or that might be created by being employed in general. Second is if before the occurrence of the act giving rise to the action, a court ordered an expungement or the employee received a pardon for the offense. And the third situation would be if the record is of an arrest or charge that did not result in a conviction. Section 11, page R54 to R55, is a Senate-only provision that authorizes the Minnesota Racing Commission to issue a license to an applicant who would otherwise be disqualified based on a prior felony conviction. It only applies to certain occupations, such as horse groomers and exercise riders. It wouldn't apply to positions involving gaming operations, security, surveillance, or the handling of mutual or club card revenue. And there are some other provisions in there that limit it as well. Page R55, House Section 15, Senate Section 30, prohibit a public employer from considering the criminal history of an applicant for employment until the applicant has been selected for a job interview, and those provisions are identical. Section 15, I mentioned this earlier, this is the companion piece of the House Article 4, Section 4 provision. It authorizes or requires employees like peace officers and public safety dispatchers of local public safety organizations that merge to be credited with their accumulated sick and vacation time. Page R56, House Section 16 is a House-only provision. It amends the fourth degree assault law, and it provides an enhanced penalty for an assault based on the type of victim. In this case, it would be if the victim was a public utility employee who was engaged in their professional duties, and if the offender knew that the victim was a utility worker, and there was demonstrable bodily harm, it would be a gross misdemeanor offense. Next is House Section 17, Senate Section 45. These provisions amend the trespass law and would make it a misdemeanor for a person to cross over or enter a public or private area that's lawfully cordoned off by the police. The difference here is that the Senate requires the authority responsible for cordoning off the area to identify itself, and also has an additional affirmative defense that the House does not have. And that is if the peace officer was not present at the site when the person trespassed, that would be an affirmative defense. And then there are some stylistic and technical differences as well. House Sections 18 through 20 on page R58 to 62, and then Senate Sections 49 to 51 are identical, and these deal with post-board housekeeping provisions. And then on page R62, House Section 21, Senate Section 52 are identical. They deal with the crime of unauthorized law enforcement practices. Then there's a Senate-only provision on R63 to R64, which deals with statute of limitations for criminal sexual conduct involving child victims. The Senate clarifies that the statute of limitations is either 9 years after the commission of the offense or 3 years after the offense was reported to law enforcement, and it's the latter of those two. House File 1392, the Representative Lesch bill, is now in finance. It passed the Public Safety Committee. I believe it's the same language. And then that takes us to the final provision, House Section 22. It relates to the Board of Pharmacy that we talked about earlier, and it requires that their first report identify all instances in which the controlled substance schedules and rules and statutes differ. And Madam Chair, I turn it back over to Ms. Curious then.
Ms. Curious.
Madam Chair, moving on to Article 6, which is on page 16 of the summary, and on page R64 of the revisor side-by-side. Almost all of Article 6 is relating to changes that reflect organizational changes in the BCA. There are two information service divisions at the BCA, the CrimNet Program Office and CJIS, and they were reorganized into a new organization, the Minnesota Justice Information Services. The corresponding Senate provisions are identical, except that Section 4 is a Senate-only provision. In the House, it is actually traveling in House File 1238, which is in Finance. Section 19 and 20 on the House side, which is R78. This is designating the Statewide Radio Board as Minnesota State Interoperability Executive Committee, and it's setting forth the board's requirements relating to public safety communications, and the House provisions, or excuse me, the Senate provisions, Section 34 and 35, are identical. On page 17 of the summary, Section 26 on the House side is repealing obsolete language relating to the changes made in Article 6. Senate Section 61 is identical, except it has two additional sections. It's deleting an obsolete section regarding the relocation of the Bloomington Municipal Court, which was actually on the House side back in Article 3, and it is repealing an unneeded law relating to the detention and release of probationers, conditional release, and pretrial releases. Article 7 is chemical testing device. This is a House-only provision. It starts on R84. It's directing the Commissioner of Public Safety to issue a request for proposal to replace the intoxilizer. The RFP must state the vendor must agree to release the computer source code for the new testing unit to litigants. And that concludes the summary.
Questions from members? I actually have a question on R63, line 48.28. Could you tell me if the victim is under 18 and then it's reported to law enforcement or not, the 9 years, if the person is still under the age of majority, does the clock still run? Mr. Backer?
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, can you repeat that one more time?
The question talks about, this is a change, my understanding, a change to the statute of limitations. And so line 48.28 talks about when the victim is under the age of 18. So one is for 9 years if it hasn't been reported, and the other is 3 years if it has been reported. So my question is, does the clock of the 9 years and the 3 years start to run immediately or after the child reaches the age of 18?
Madam Chair and members, I believe it would start to run immediately. But I don't know if there's any of the advocates in the audience, but I thought it would be immediate.
Okay. Okay. Other questions? Representative, or Senator Olson.
Madam Chair, I was just going to point out that it's the latter of, so that doesn't directly address your question, but even if it's been reported, it'll still be at least 9 years. What the intent there is, if it hasn't been reported and it doesn't get reported for, say, 15 years, then from the point it's been reported, you'd still have an additional 3 years.
Okay. All right. Further questions? Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question relates to Article 4, Section 13 to 15
on page.
On page 8 in the summary.
Could you please use your microphone? It's hard for us to hear you.
Sorry, they're right in our face in the other room. So I'm looking at Article 4, Section 13 to 15 on the Senate side, but there was something similar on the House side, and I'm wondering if you could explain, if staff could explain the purpose of those sections and the differences between the two. It sounds like they do totally different things.
Mrs.
Madam Chair, Senator Roman, are you referring to page 31, the Senate sections 13 through 15?
Senator,
I'm sorry, I'm looking at the summary on page 8, Article 4, Corrections and Sentencing Guidelines. It's actually Senate File 993, Sections 13 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
Mr.
Bassett. Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, members, those are the set and only provisions. They came in as a committee amendment. The original Senate bill and the original House bill was on the next page, or at least of the side-by-side R32. So if you look at the summary of House Section 3, Senate Section 32, those provisions amend the law relating to the CCA Act counties, and it gives the authority to basically direct peace officers and probation officers outside the county of jurisdiction. And then 13 to 15 basically was intended to make more or less those same changes in the CPO probation system as were being made in the CCA system, and they were suggested by some of the advocates.
Thank you.
Further questions? All right, seeing none, members, I was going to wait till Senator Moore was here in order to have people at least introduce themselves, because we do have some new members. I think I'm going to ask members to do that even though Senator Moore isn't here yet. So why don't we start at the end of the table down there and just say who you are. And
Chris Turner, Senate Fiscal Analyst.
And Julianne Ortman.
Senator from
Sanhassen.
Michigan State Senator from North Minneapolis.
John Betzel, State Senate. I represent Parks and Fridley, all of Mound View, Spring Lake Park, and Blaine. And for the House members, my House members are Representative Tilbury and Tim Sanders.
I'm Mary Olson. My Senate district starts just north and west of the Brainerd area and extends all the way up to north of Bemidji. My Senate members are Larry Howes and John Purcell. House members, yes.
My name is James Chang. I'm a legislative assistant for Judiciary Senator Meemaw and Judiciary Staff.
Eric Dick, Committee Administrator for Senate Judiciary.
Ken Back as Senate Counsel.
Deborah Hellstrom, Public Safety Policy Manager.
Secretary of Health Research.
Peter Stillmeyer, Committee Administrator for Public Safety Policy.
Michael Pema, Representative of State Law.
Gail Kubik Jackson, District 16A, my Senator is Obie.
Carla Bigham, House District 57A, and my Senator is Senator Sieben.
Tim Kelly, Representative from 28A, Red Wing, and down the river, my Senator would be Steve Murphy.
Dennis Verdon, Republican Research in the House.
Kate Reese, CFL Caucus Research in the House.
Karen Euclid, Committee of Legislative Assistance for the House Public Safety Committee.
right. Members, if there are no further questions, I think we're going to adjourn the meeting for today and wait for Senator Moran to call the next meeting. This meeting is adjourned. Okay.